from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, Executive Director of the Illuminate Film Festival, Tiana David.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Nick Jackson. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Someone tipped their hat to me today. I was walking down the street, and not like they were wearing a top hat or anything like that. He had on a baseball cap. And he tipped his hat to me today. I don't know who this person was. I've never seen them before. And I was out walking in the neighborhood. And it's not like he took his hat completely off. It's like he lifted his hand all the way up, touched the tip of his baseball cap, and kind of lifted it a little bit as he kind of bowed his head to me. And I thought, wow, like, when have I ever seen that? Never in real life. Like maybe in a Dickens play or in a movie about the old times. But I don't know that I've seen it in real life, and definitely not to me that I can think of. And it actually kind of made me feel good. And then after, as he passed by, I thought, oh, I should have done the same thing. I happen to have been wearing a baseball cap as well. And I didn't do it. And I thought, where's my manners? And it's interesting because I was inspired by speaking with our guest earlier today, how she said something. And because of what she said, I wrote something that I wanted to remember. And I think this is a great time to bring it up. Our past is potentially part of our future. And so I went ahead and looked up something that I've heard so many times before. And that's a quote that says, what does it say? It says, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. And that's attributed to a philosopher named George Santayana. And that's to say that those who cannot remember, like originally it's supposed to be that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And so again, condemned to repeat it. We've always thought about it. I've always thought about it as a negative thing. And like, we need to learn the past so that we don't have all these negative things come back to us. But there are some things in the past, like potentially tipping a hat to somebody, that might be nice to bring back, that maybe we need back. And that might be like learning how to till the soil or work it with our hands and grow our own food. Maybe respect more for elders, maybe learning more about cultures. I mean, there is a list. I'm not one who says, it was the good old days or it was better before. No, I that's not me. But I do say that there are things that we could learn, not just how not to do anymore, but how to do. And so I think that in our conversations today, ironically, both with our guest and our performance guest, I think we'll be talking about bringing some good stuff back.
Well, that's perfect timing because I just got done churning the butter and molding the clay.
I can't wait to have some. I tip my hat to you.
But it's a great thought, and it's a great lead-in to the conversation we're going to have with our guest, because movies are so powerful in bringing these elements of relating and story and interacting, and the ones that got lost that should be carried forward and make moments with, and new ones that become part of the culture going forward that should be maintained. So really appreciated that monologue.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate what our guest is bringing to the world, actually, and to this show. She is an executive director, or newly executive director, of the Illuminate Film Festival. She's previously co-director of the Shift Your World Film Festival and a director of Deepak Home Base. We have with us Tiana David. Welcome to the show, Tiana.
Thank you so much, Filippo. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And I mispronounced your name, didn't I? Tiana.
You know, I could just call you like Fred and we wouldn't even. It's no problem. I mean, I know we had a 10-minute conversation earlier today about how to pronounce my name, but Fred, I forgive you.
Fred, that's your new name from here forward.
You could call me Fred. I'm going to call you Tiana. And I was, yes, the conversation included the fact that I know a Taya. And then you told me the history of the name. So boy, I tell you. So habits, sometimes we go back to habits because up until that conversation, we were all mispronouncing your name. And so we revert back to habits. And sometimes we're not reminded often enough of some of the good things or the right things. And so in a crazy sort of way, Illuminate Film Festival, the more I was illuminated about it and learning more about it, it felt like these are some of the things, or a lot of the things, we need to be reminded of more and more and more and more.
Yes, I appreciate what you're saying. And I've been fascinated with the word remember lately, because really, I think that we've become so disjointed from the web of life. And really what we're doing when we remember is we're remembering to become again part of the organism that is Gaia and the greater cosmos. Not to go all cosmic from the get-go, but
go. Yeah.
So I like what you're saying about being reminded, and that's where it takes me, is to remember. And in terms of how media can help us remember, gosh, absolutely. I mean, in a way, I think of films as dreaming out loud. And, you know, we know if we can dream it, we can do it. So let's dream out loud. Let's watch those dreams that have come through artists and really be able to somatically feel ourselves in a new reality, inside of solutions for our planet. And I think it's the first step in developing the neural pathways that allow us to actually become the change we want to see. It's the mirror neurons, you know? It's like when you're watching a tennis game and you all of a sudden just feel like you are playing tennis, even though you're watching it. You know, it's this empathy response that I think we can really just use to our benefit.
So I don't remember what you were saying that made me write our past is potentially part of our future. I'm looking at my notes, but you definitely inspired that thought. And so what you're bringing to the fold, not only in the Illuminate Film Festival, but also in the movie that we'll talk about, the 10-part series shortly, which is called Changing of the Gods. Great name, by the way. There's something that you knew, that our ancestors knew, that maybe civilizations before us knew, that somehow we either got too cocky as adults or kind of thought, oh, well, that's just kids' stuff. We're in, you know, business is business. We're adults now. We don't think that way anymore.
Can you just expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I wish I could. But actually, it takes me back to our conversation with you as a child. Like, you were connecting with something that most children don't.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I see where you're going.
Or maybe they do, and then we lose it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, going back to the natural world and going back to the fact that we have so much hubris that we've just decided we're outside and above the web of life and we can sort of pull the strings, you know, as if the other beings on this planet are just our puppets. We need to humble ourselves and be back inside, remember our place inside the web of life, not above it. And I think children know that. We're born with that innate sense of animism, if you will, of recognizing the enchanted cosmos. That's why children's books are full of talking animals. I mean, this is just natural. And slowly, sadly, it does tend to go away. And what you and I were speaking about earlier was, you had asked me when my spiritual seeking began, and I said, I think I was 11, and it started with magic, natural magic. It started with bringing in the elements into my little pink bedroom, bringing in a candle for fire and some water and something that would represent air and some earth, maybe some leaves, flowers, and doing little rituals that somehow, I think in that time, honestly, in that precarious time of 11 years old, where you're like on the cusp of puberty, and that childlike wonder and connection with the world is maybe starting to fade. I think my instinct was to keep it alive and to do that, you know, to connect to these rituals, which honestly have been happening for so many thousands and thousands of years. This is nothing new, but I'm glad that I was awake to just sort of catch that instinct to do that. And yeah, so that was the beginning of my spiritual seeking, I would say. And then it quickly went to, you know, Krishnamurti and Buddhist teachers, Pema Chodron, and on and on and on.
Well, the on and on is fascinating, because it almost seemed like you were set on a path with the different people that you've worked with and the different film groups and film festivals. So what has, and here you are with Illuminate. So what has been, has there been a guiding thought to this? Is this, in an odd kind of way, you were, not odd, but wonderful way, you were preserving like the rainforest in one situation growing up. And now you're kind of like preserving something. I'm not sure how to put a finger on it. Like, you're preserving something for us, or helping us remember. So let's start at the rainforest.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was born in Tahiti and I grew up on Vancouver Island, and early on became an environmental activist, living close to so much old growth that I quickly learned was being turned into phone books for Los Angeles. You know, that really ignited a little fire in me, and I was going up to Carmana Valley and other old growth forests and protesting, and also actually participating in science to find rare species of moss and lichen so that we could say, look what's here. It cannot be clear cut because these rare species are here and they must be preserved and all of that. So using science and strategy in that way to make a case. Like, sadly, that we would need to make a case to keep our, you know, the lungs of our world standing. But concurrently, I was a young actor and dancer and singer, I guess, and I was cast on a very progressive children's television show in Canada called Takeoff. And it was directed, produced, and written by a woman in her 40s, which, interestingly, talking about time, you know, I'm a woman in my 40s working in media, and I hearken back 15 or so years, and I think, gosh, that woman, Hilary Jones Farrow, made such an impression on me. She was making this television series that was full of magic, but also full of environmental and social justice messages. And so early on, I was participating on set for months and months in this communication that was so enjoyable because it involved music and fun characters, but at the same time, it was imparting really important life lessons. And I carry that with me today as I curate the different film festivals, as I make films myself. I really understand the importance of a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, or we could say, just to make it a little healthier, a spoonful of maple syrup makes the medicine go down. I mean, right? Like we want to impart messages, but we do, I would say that it serves us generally, if we're going to reach a mass audience, to make those messages really palatable. As one of my mentors, Rick Ingrassi, says, he says, if you want to change the world, throw a better party. And I'm down for that.
Oh, nice. Well, Rainforest, to your production company, Wise Planet Media, to working with Deepak Homebase and all the people that you worked with there.
Yeah, and that was Deepak Chopra's New York Center, just by the way. So that's why it was called Deepak Homebase.
And Shift Your World Film Festival, like, and now Illuminate. You're on a mission.
You know, I would say that the mission is on me and through me, as I'm sure you relate to. It's my dharma coming through me. And I think, you know, we don't always feel aligned with our dharma. I mean, certainly we all get lost and get obstructed and distracted, I would say, and I've been there for sure. But there is something that keeps pulling me back, and there does seem to be a theme emerging, as you're pointing out, which is environmental stewardship and media, and also consciousness, which to me completely relates to environment. And so I think the more that we can listen internally, the more that we can be quiet, and of course, practices like meditation and yoga and others help with that. And I really think that is our responsibility, to be quiet within ourselves in a way that we can listen for what is ours to do. And I'm not always successful at that, but it is something that I'm committed to practicing. So thanks for pointing that out, that yes, there is a theme emerging in my life, and I'm here for it.
Well, and you're obviously helping people as well, not just through the media, but also being a teacher of somatics and Pilates and leading retreats, Costa Rica and British Columbia and all of that. So very fascinating. And then you became the impact producer of a docuseries. So let's talk about that actually when we come back. The docuseries is called Changing of the Gods. We're going to want to know what that means and what that's about. But obviously, we're speaking with Taya. Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh, Tayana.
There you go,
David.
Again, Fred. What's up?
We're speaking with Tayana David and having a great time and learning a lot. We are Illuminated and Illuminated. IlluminateFilmFestival.com.
I'm going to have to employ the beep, Filippo. I'm going to bring it back in.
Which one?
Beep.
IlluminateFilmFestival.com and also WisePlanetMedia.com. We mentioned it briefly. When we come back, we're going to be speaking more with Tayana David and learning more about her work. And a little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then we are joined by performance guest Nick Jackson, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We have titled this episode, there's our 744th episode, Art That Springs from an Awakened State of Mind. I believe we're hearing a little bit of that coming through with executive director of the Illuminate Film Festival, previous co-director of the Shift Your World Film Festival, and so much more, Teyana David. And Teyana, we're talking about the series that you are impact producer. You were explaining to me actually what an impact producer is. I don't know that a lot of people know what that is. So before we get into what Changing of the Gods is about, do you mind sharing what an impact producer is?
Oh yeah, of course. So an impact producer typically has been associated with documentary films and or series, and they'll usually come on 6 months or so before a film is released, and then stay on for a year or two or more, just helping that content get out into the world in a meaningful way, thus the impact producer. Mm-hmm. So which communities can it touch? How can screenings be set up with post-show discussions that would help people have a deeper experience of the material? Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And so you are on Changing of the Gods. Of course, Changing of the Guards is usually what the phrase that we know. So this is very intriguing. What do we draw from this?
Yeah, so I'll tell you just a little bit about this 10-part series, Changing of the Gods, which is on Amazon and Apple and YouTube and Vimeo. And it was directed by Kenny Ozabel and Louis Schwartzberg, who also directed Fantastic Fungi, which many people are familiar mm-hmm. with, that excellent film. So co-directed by those two. And it's based on the work of master archetypal astrologer Richard Tarnas. Yeah, and his book, Cosmos and Psyche, is the basis of this 10-part docuseries. And while it is about astrology, it's not about personal astrology or sort of your sun sign. It's actually about world transits, and that refers to the movement of the planets and their relationship with one another. So the sacred geometry, if you will, that happens in the cosmos. And fascinatingly, the effect that those configurations between the planets have on us and social movements that happen to spring up on our planet when certain planets around us are in trine or square or conjunction, other configurations. It's fascinating when you backcast through history and realize that there's really a science to it. And I'm not somebody who's into astrology, by the way, I should say that. I just really have never been. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. This does to me. This is, I think, zooming out. It's a much grander and more scientific understanding to my, you know, in my view. So changing of the gods, you know, in so many cultures throughout history, not just the Greeks and Romans, there have been gods and goddesses affiliated with the planets. And so changing of the gods refers to the shifting of these heavenly bodies. And that brings me to archetypes. And again, I mean, if you look at Tibetan Buddhism, if you look at the Vedas, if you look at the Yoruba traditions, and of course, Greek and Roman cultures, the archetypes, these sort of primordial energies that manifest in many different dimensions, they inform our lives. And just the other day, Jude Curvin, the amazing cosmologist, said something that just rocked my world. And she said, if indeed we are in a living conscious cosmos, which all of the new latest physics is pointing towards and proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the conscious itself, the cosmos itself is conscious, and that really we're living inside of one big thought that we are also co-creating. It's a hologram that we're inside of. And okay, so if we're evolving into greater and greater levels of complexity, then of course the archetypes are also evolving. And in that way, changing of the gods takes on a new meaning for me. You know, our archetypes, whether they're shapes or sort of personified beings or angels or just energies, they're evolving alongside the rest of the cosmos. Fascinating.
It is. And if we're evolving, we also are able to understand more. So potentially some of what was already there that we didn't understand, now we're understanding or bringing into our existence or part of our existence. This is fascinating, right? Indeed. So changing of the gods, if it were a film, sounds like something that would be in Illuminate Film Festival.
Yeah. And interestingly, at Shift Your World Film Festival, where I was previously, we premiered it. We premiered episodes one and 10. Yeah. So it's exactly this kind of content. And, you know, we Illuminate is a discovery festival, so we're always on the cutting edge of the latest content. So our next festival in May will be showing a lot of premieres, films that are just new on the scene. But yeah, Changing of the Gods is an evolutionary offering to the collective. And I really encourage anybody and everyone to watch it, whether you're into astrology or not. There are so many larger messages, and it really honors social and environmental movements that have come before us too. I mean, I've just had a huge education in history watching this series about whose shoulders that we stand on.
Yeah, and having watched the trailer, which, by the way, we posted on the lifechangesshow.com webpage for Teyana David, you'll see the Illuminate Film Festival promo trailer there. And having watched that and having read a little bit about the festival, going to the website, there it seems that you're saying a lot of new films are coming out, a lot of premieres, and that's, I'm getting that some of the concepts have been around for a long time and it's time we're illuminated about them, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's like ancient wisdom for modern times, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of to harken back to your beautiful opening monologue. I mean, there's so much that we can learn from the past and so much that we have forgotten. And it's helpful if we can awaken and remember and honor those who've come before. We don't just need to throw everything out. I mean, yes, we're in a bit of a mess in certain ways on this earth, this blessed earth, but there are so many people who have lived with such integrity, and let's remember them.
Speaking of honoring, I want to give a shout out to Kit Thomas, who I had called to discuss the Circle of Wisdom, and that was how we came in contact. So I wanted to give him a shout out and extend that honor as well.
Yeah, for sure, Mark. Thank you, my partner, Kit Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, shout out indeed. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Kit. And I look forward to connecting again. It's been years, but every time we connected, two or three times with Kit, was always working on something very exciting with exciting people. And this title, Art That Springs from an Awakened State of Mind, which comes from your words, Teyana, I loved. I know that so many people for many years have thought that without drama, we don't have art, that stories have to have a drama. I think there may be a different definition of drama. Like I've seen some of the films that illuminate, like the ones you mentioned actually earlier, and there's enough drama in the world right now.
Filippo, it's so interesting what you're saying. And I just have to assert that those aren't my words. They're the words of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, the Buddhist teacher, speaking of honoring those who have come before. Nice. So what's really interesting about what you're saying is that there's drama and then there's dharma. And what you read, art that springs from an awakened state of mind, is the definition of dharma art, which interestingly is like almost a counterpoint to drama art.
Nice.
which might like erupt from a neurotic state of mind or something.
Nice. And that ties into what you were saying about, like when I said you're on a mission and you said the mission is on me.
Right. Yeah.
So interesting. Oh, this is fascinating. Well, the film festival, this one is in May of 2024. And that'll happen quicker than we think. And so for those who have films that they want to present, for those who want to support, for those who want to be a part of it, it's partly in person in Santa Barbara, and also it's going to be online globally, part of it. And that's Illuminate. Filmfestival.com, illuminatefilmfestival.com, just like it sounds, and then wiseplanetmedia.com. Teyana, there seems to be, I know there is, so much more than we can touch on, but anything that we want to make sure that people know so that they could come in droves and experience and learn and grow?
Well, I just want to say that Illuminate has been successfully going on for 9 years in Sedona, Arizona, under the leadership of Danette Walpert, who has done such a stellar job creating community around this very meaningful experience. And I'm honored to step into her shoes. And I am indeed making the move, bringing it to a bigger and yet still kind of a small town, but more robust audience here in Santa Barbara. So it's a big move. And I'm really looking forward to Illuminate's new home, while also, of course, just honoring where we've been and the beautiful folks of Sedona and all of that time that Illuminate had to really incubate and flourish in that magical place.
Mm. Well, it sounds like there's more magic to be had. Thank you for taking this on and sharing with us. And we look forward to supporting and also getting to experience, Teyana. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Filippo. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you, Mark, and the rest of the team. I love your show and just really appreciate what you all are doing in the world. So I think we're all working for the same boss lady, as Kit likes to say.
Indeed. Thank you, nice. Tana.
And Mark, did you hear that? She called me Filippo. I love it.
I was going to say Dharma and Drama. That's kind of like Filippo and Fred.
I know. So similar.
Okay. Teyana, David, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. Again, illuminatefilmfestival.com and wiseplanetmedia.com. And we also have more information at Life Changes Show for Teyana, David. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Patrick in Dallas, Texas. Lately, I've been seeing the number 1111 pop up daily. I see it every morning, and if I'm up until midnight, I see it again. Many of my friends tell me that this is very special, but they can't tell me why. Is seeing 1111 really special? And if it is special, what is its significance?
Dear Patrick, there are many theories about the significance of the number 11. In numerology, it is referred to as a master number, signifying spiritual awareness or psychic intuition. And when it is doubled, many people believe it is even more powerful and suggest that when you see it, it is a good time to make a wish. Many in New Age communities believe that 11 is an angel number. And when 1111 shows up, they believe that angels are nearby. Kim Duong wrote an interesting article for stylecaster.com on November 11th of last year, and she urges us to see it as a blessing that is telling us that something good is coming our way. Imelda of TrustPsychicMediums.com says, it is also the number you'll often see when you are about to experience a spiritual awakening or rebirth of some sorts. Patrick, there are so many articles online about this powerful number, and you might enjoy researching it. Or you could simply choose to see it as a blessing when it appears and examine what your thoughts were just prior to seeing it. You could even begin to write down these thoughts, and this could lead you to understanding the significance of 1111's appearance in your life. I trust you will enjoy experiencing 1111's magic.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Nick Jackson, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I'm happy to introduce our performance guest, who is a singer, songwriter, performer, musician, and so much more. Welcome Nick Jackson to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, what's happening, people?
You know, a lot of good things are happening, and I hope you feel it, and you're part of it. You were part of the monologue at the beginning of the show, because I was thinking, as I listened to your music over and over again, really enjoying a couple of the songs especially, that it was reminding me of another time, but it was like for today. So it wasn't like an old song. It was like I'm listening to a new song, but it makes me feel like, I don't know, back in the day and good.
It's so interesting you explain it that way, because that's exactly what my producer and I were going for. So,
well, you hit it.
Yeah. When I first started working on the album, I was inspired to hire my producer. His name is D Mills. He was a guy that I actually performed with around town quite often. He's a bass player. I sing and I play piano. We'd worked together for years, but I'd never heard his original music. He had never heard mine. And he put out an album before mine, and I heard his production, and he was playing all the instruments. And I'm just like, we were always cut from the same cloth as far as the type of music we loved and, you know, the era you just described. But I had never heard his production. And once I heard that, I was like, I need you to do my album. Are you my real friend or not? Like, come on, what's up? And he's like, I thought you'd never ask, you know?
So, yeah, man.
So I'm glad you explained it that way and put that spin on it, because that's exactly what we were going for.
Well, thank you for making that. I like I said, I enjoyed it, and I'm thrilled that we're getting to share your music with our audience so more people can know. And I have to give a shout out to Paul Frederick, who
Give that shout out to you stole it from me. Paul Frederick of Big Lucky Band, man, great musician.
Yeah, agreed. So thank you for that. Well, I don't want to steal any more thunder. You know, you have so many great stories, and I want to get to the music too. So I'm kind of like, but this thing about, okay, so your aunt did what?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, because it ties into then, you know, your mom walking into the room with your record. So go on, your aunt. Let's start with your aunt.
Oh yeah, I forgot we talked about all that. Well, we'll start with my auntie. I call her auntie. It's just, it stuck from ever since I could talk. I just never changed it when I grew up. So.
Love it.
Auntie Janice to me, Janice Marie Johnson of A Taste of Honey to everyone else. That's my mom's little sister. And I've obviously known her my whole life. And when I was growing up, she's always lived in LA. That's where my mother and my aunt grew up. And of course, that's where she stayed when, you know, the business started taking off with music. So I would spend my summers down here, and she would actually record me and get me to, you know, get me into songwriting and everything like that. And for those who don't recognize the name of Taste of Honey, they recognize the song Boogie Oogie Oogie. And yeah, so she wrote that, she sang it, played the bass on it. And a lot of people have really good memories with her music, you know? So she was a great inspiration as well.
Nice. So, everybody's saying, except people that you were hanging around with, like your brothers, right?
Yeah, man. So in my family, there's three boys. I'm the baby. and we're all, you know, jocks more or less, athletes, and grew up playing football, basketball, baseball, and we all loved music, but none of my older brothers sang. So since they didn't sing and I'm the little brother, I took my cue from them. I just thought that was for mom and auntie. We don't do that. You know, we listen to it. Auntie plays bass, auntie sings. That's cool. Let's go play football. But it wasn't until my mom bought me this Jackson 5 tape. And I think it was something about hearing, you know, 9, 10, 11 year old's voice coming out of the speaker when I'm 8. I'm like, let me try, you know? Because when it was an adult's voice, it never occurred to me that I could be a part of it too.
I just
didn't even have that thought. But when I heard Little Michael, like, let me try. And that's when my mom walked in the room and caught me. Stop the love you say, let me out. And she catches me and I'm just like, I freeze like a deer in headlights. And she was smart. She's just like, no, you keep singing. I'm just putting this laundry away. Just act like you don't even see me. And I just kept going. Darling, look both ways before you cross me. And she's like, oh my God, he can sing. She really freaked out. It was the beginning of everything for sure.
Oh man, what a great story. You said she started to cry?
Yeah, she started crying and after that, you know how it is when your parents have parties and stuff like that, their friends come over and they're drinking and it's like,
oh no,
like your uncle's Nikki's gonna sing. Yeah, it was a lot of that. A lot of wash, rinse and repeat, man, from 8 to 18.
That's great, Nick. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Love that story. Well, let's get to hear a couple of the songs from the album that you pretty much just released in the past year or so, which is called Waiting for the Day. Right, this song is from that.
It's my pandemic album, I call it.
Okay, nice. All right. Well.
Yeah.
If you were lucky in love during your pandemic, I mean, you had it better off than some people, but lucky in love. Anything we want to know about it before we hear it?
Well, if I'm being completely honest, as an artist and as a writer, I wrote it years before the pandemic, and it was at a time and place when, I'll be real with you, both songs you're going to hear today, Filippo, are both about the same girl, and one's lucky in love and one's like not so in love. You'll hear the difference.
Oh, wow. No wonder you wanted this one first, because the other one's called Days Gone. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, well, now we know the whole story, and we're going to get to hear Nick Jackson's pre-recorded song that's from his album, Waiting for the Day, here pre-recorded on the Life Changes show, Lucky in Love, Nick Jackson.
Transforms your whole world and all your priorities. Had a carousel of female variety, but since you came along, it's all a distant memory. That's alright, baby. It's more than okay. I can't imagine in an other way. I take my rose and I take my phone. Consumed by the mirage of what wasted energy. Stop counting the days of me with you and you with me. Cause time stands still when we're wrapped up between the sheets.
Lucky in love, baby.
Make me feel
my life? Oh, I had other girls, but none that I ever felt proud to stand by my side. And life with you was such a breeze, the months feel like days. And whenever I'm hurting, you always find a way to take away the pain.
You make me feel lucky,
you make me feel lucky.
Lucky in love, baby.
Lucky in love, baby.
You make me feel lucky,
you make me feel lucky.
Lucky in love, baby.
Lucky in love, baby.
Lucky in love, baby.
Lucky in love,
I'm so glad I met you.
Lucky,
I don't know what I'd be without your loving, baby.
Lucky in love, baby. You make me feel lucky.
Feel so good.
Lucky in love, baby. Oh, I'm so glad I met you.
Nick Jackson and Lucky in Love. Nick, that's the song that I was boogie oogie oogin to
yes,
for so many listens to that song. So Nick Jackson Music pretty much is where you'll find all about Nick. So nickjacksonmusic.com, and Nick is N-I-C. So yeah. Nick Jackson Music.
And I do on stage, N-I-C Jackson Music.
Oh, nice.
Music. And that helps it stick for the audience, you know.
Nice, clever. And then Twitter and Instagram, just YouTube, Nick Jackson Music, just find him all over. And then we have his links at the Life Changers Show webpage for Nick Jackson. So Nick, you do a lot of things, and some of the things that I know that you do require skills beyond, just singing, having a great voice and knowing how to put music together. And it's interesting. You said to me that you attribute these other skills to sports.
Oh yeah. Well, my friends, a lot of my musician friends who don't sing, but they, you know, they play instruments, either bass keys, guitar, like a rhythm section or a horn player. A lot of them tend to give me a lot of credit, and I never paid it any mind before they, you know, went out of their way to bring it to my attention. But they give me a lot of credit for being a good band leader. And a lot of singers can sing, have great voices, and all of that. But a lot of them can't really, you know, essentially be a quarterback on stage. That's what I equate it to, you know, from playing football. You know, you have your offense and you have your defense, you have your quarterback and you have your linebacker, and those guys are like the captains of each side, really. And I was always taught that a singer, you know, should be that as well. And not all singers are really taught that. A lot of singers kind of lean on the band to know where to go, to know when the song, to keep stretching out. And, or sometimes there's a music director, and that could be, you know, assigned to any one of the musicians, really. You know, sometimes it's a piano player, sometimes it's a drummer, but a lot of singers really lean on those players. And I'm kind of cut from the cloth of James Brown and guys like that, that you have to watch them because you don't know what's going to happen. And they're the ones that cue the endings. They're the ones that starts the songs, and they're like the ones driving the ship, really. So that's who I studied. And, you know, my auntie was no different when she performed. You know, she would cue changes like going to the bridge or going to the chorus, or, you know, or just a breakdown or anything really that can happen on stage when you're performing. So those are just the type of artists I studied who were that naturally. So quite naturally, I became that. But I didn't realize that not all singers are that.
Well, it was something I noted, and I'm glad you filled in that. I love the sports analogy. As a matter of fact, before we get to this next song, which, by the way, it sounds like you didn't get the W with this girl.
No. There's a new girl. This is
a okay. Yeah, there's a new W. Yeah,
she's gonna get some songs of her own, I'm sure.
Nice. Okay, we look forward to the next album. Tell us a little bit about walking away with the W. I loved that story.
Oh. So, along with the sports analogies, like we were doing before, this is in terms of performing, like live performing in front of an audience. You know, it really doesn't matter the size. But for me, when I go on stage, a gig's a gig, and I give the same amount of effort if there's 10 people there or 10,000.
Nice.
So what you were talking about, you know, walking away with a W. It's just finding a way to win, meaning finding a way to sound good, you know, especially from a singer's perspective, because there's some nights where you might be on your fifth night in a row singing in front of people without a night off, and your voice will sound really good and crystal clear on that first night, but then after the second, third, and fourth, you get to that show, it's like, I don't know if I can hit the high note anymore. There's a lot of songs that are in question now that that might not want to sing, you know, but it's just about finding a way to win and finding a way to sound good, because at the end of the day, it's the job we chose, and we often don't get sick days. It's got to be really bad for a singer to take a night out because they're sick. You know, if you got a sore throat, or you know, if we don't go out there and sing, we don't get paid. If we don't get paid, you know how it goes. You don't pay the bills, you don't eat. So a lot of times we gotta sing when the circumstances aren't, you know, necessarily in our favor, and they can be quite terrible. Honestly, I remember just recently, man, my band had a show at a private event in Lake Tahoe on a Saturday, and it was my uncle's funeral Saturday morning in Sacramento. So the rest of the band flew into Reno from LA. I drove up from LA to Sacramento the night before to run through the song with a piano player I'd never met that was just a part of the church that was going to be playing with me.
That you were singing at the funeral?
Yeah, I got to his house at like 1 a.m, you know, ran over the song. Then get to my parents' house in Folsom. Then, you know, we get to the church, and that's how I know God is real, man, because there's no way my voice should have sounded as good as it sounded. Mm. I didn't get any sleep. You know, I sang the night before, but, you know, he was just with me that day. And then I had to drive up and do the gig in Tahoe. Like, it was all good, you know, smile in front of this people's wedding. And it was therapeutic because I am lucky enough to perform with my friends. So when you're in it is a little bit of healing, and you can kind of take your mind off it and go to your happy place. But as soon as the gig is over, it's like you're back with all those feelings again. So it's just, that's what I mean when I say just find a way to win, because it doesn't matter what you're going through. They're there to have a good time, whether it's an audience or whether it's some paid clients that paid you to perform for a party. Like, that's what you sign up for as a professional, you know? So you got to go out there and find a way to turn it on.
Wow. After that great sermon that you just gave, or inspirational speech, I don't know, Day's Gone, we're going to play it anyway because it's a great song, but I think we know what we need to know about it, right?
Yeah, we know what we know. Guy tried to hang on, but at the end of his rope, and just couldn't do it. But he loved her.
All right. So here's Nick Jackson's pre-recorded song from his album Waiting for the Day here on Life Changes Show Online. It's Days Gone.
Say that you're beautiful. A look of disbelief comes over your face. I can't make up for the praise that you never got, or the self-respect your mama never taught. Just a man in love, wrap you in my arms. Look into your eyes and see the precious jewel that you are. And that's why I try so hard to hold on. God, I hold time in my arms, heals all your wounds from days gone. Each and every time that we spend apart, your jealous ways begin to take over your mind. Lots of female friends, vixens in your head, but you're the only one I want in my bed.
show you the joyous ways that I imagine by your side, where it's all love and all is right. And that's why I try so hard to hold on. God, I hold time in my arms, heals all your wounds from days gone. Every time I try to reach out my hand for you, won't you grab hold? Only so long I can keep the faith before it starts to get a little old. I know that you love me, but why won't you trust me? 'Cause from this man who loves you, who's always been there for you, why ain't that enough, baby? That's why I try so hard. I try so hard to hold.
Jackson.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Nick Jackson, look him up on nickjackson.com and on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Nick Jackson Music. He's also on Facebook, Nicholas Jackson, interestingly enough. But we have his link there on the Life Changes Show webpage for Nick Jackson. Again, Nick with an N-I-C. How do you say it on stage?
N-I-C Jackson Music. N-I-C Jackson Music. You get them to chant it. It works out. And that Facebook with the Nicholas, man, that's a long story. I don't know.
But you know what? You know we're going to want to hear it someday. I was glad to hear that you're in L.A. so that I could see you live. I get to meet you. And I'm loving this story. Thank you for being on with us and sharing your music and your heart here on Life Changes.
Thank you for having me, guys. You mind if I give one more shout out before we go?
Let's do.
I just got to give a shout out to John and Ross. The last song you heard is my song, Days Gone. It's from the album. But that was an arrangement I did for a project. They were working on this blues project. They're a duo. They play guitar and sing play harmonica and guitar and sing. And they had a couple other featured artists. So they chose to use my song. And that was their rendition.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And congrats, by the way, on your songs being on films and TV shows and all of that. May there be more. And you've opened up for some great people. May some great people open up for you. And with big thank you to you, Nick.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Mark, I appreciate it, you guys, really.
And with a thank you to Nick Jackson, we also thank Tayana David for a great interview. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.